You ready, Jim? Okay, we'll call our meeting back to order. Welcome, everybody. Our names are right here, but why don't we start with Ginger and kind of go around and introduce ourselves right quick. Would that be all right?
Yeah. My name's Ginger Lynch. I'm from Village GIS.
My name's Dave Sabbath. I'm with Village GIS.
I'm Matt Sabbath. I'm also with Village GIS.
Jim Travis.
I'm Chris Kesey.
That's the only family.
County Clerk.
Melissa Trotter.
Gary Morgan,
County.
James Reagan, County Assessor. She's a quiet county clerk. All right. Jim Muse is our deputy clerk back here. So it's yours, Ginger. You want
to
put it to us?
And I'll put it to you.
All right.
Well, I know everybody in the room, so I'm not going to be real formal, but I just wanted to start off by apologizing. Ed Fisher, who's the president of our company, is always at all of our presentations, but he had a medical procedure that he had to do today. It was the only time the specialist was available. And so he's under the knife right now as we speak. And he also happens to be my dad. So if I seem maybe a little distracted, I am concerned about him as we're talking, but I'm sure he'll be fine. The Lord's going to take care of him. So, but let me go ahead and introduce Curtis Copeland, who's the vice president of Village GIS. He's also the GIS coordinator for the city of Branson. Everybody here knows that. And I have with us Dave Sabbath, who Dave has 28 years of programming and appraisal experience. Most of that has been in the state of Missouri. He was in the, he actually oversaw parts of the Kansas reassessment back in, was that the 80s? 89. So, and he was here for the reassessment of the 90s, and he is the chief appraiser for Boone County. And he's important to us because he is the brains behind the majority of all the appraisal work that went into all of our programs. He's the lead programmer, and he is absolutely one of the very best in the field. He cannot beat Dave, and he's known throughout the tri-county state area for being an expert. And so he's the one that put the brains behind the programming, and we're very happy to have him with us. Matthew Sabbath, which you'll notice he has the last name of Dave Sabbath. But like Matthew, he followed in his dad's footsteps. I followed my dad's footsteps. But Matt is a great technical mind, and he comes and brings a whole bunch of dynamic to our flex programming. And he's working right now with setting new standards for our programs, and he's doing a fantastic job. Most of you know Jim Travis. Jim Travis has been with Taney County for 10 years.
Since
1999, and we have acquired Travis Software, Village GIS has, and so Jim's come on, and with acquiring Travis Software, we also acquired Jim, and so when you get a good thing, you just get it in a good big package, and so Jim comes with us also. This is Chris Giese. He is new from Colorado, and he's an expert programmer, and he's helping us. We're right now expanding our programming staff to extremely qualified individuals, and Chris is one of those, and so we're really happy to have him here. And then, of course, you know, you got Curtis Copeland. Almost everybody in this room knows Curtis Copeland, but he is a forerunner in GIS field in the state of Missouri. He leads a lot of users groups. He is extremely knowledgeable in cadastral standards, and he's knowledgeable, obviously, in geographic information systems. I'm the marketing director for Village GIS, and I came on, actually, Curtis came to me, and I've been a minister and a businesswoman in the community for 17 years. And so they came to me and asked me if I would come on and help them because they have grown. Village started in 2002, but they've grown by word of mouth and by the job that we do for our clients, not by traditional marketing. And they've grown so much. You can see our map here. We also have clients in Texas. We have Texas Natural, or Texas, what's it called? Texas Gas Service, that's what they call natural gas. We have Oklahoma Natural Gas. We've mapped and converted parcels in every single county in the state of Oklahoma. And we have, this is our presence in the state of Missouri, and we have packets for all of you guys, so this is in your packet, so you can take a look at that. And we have 100% customer satisfaction. Matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, I called and personally called every single one of our clients, and every single one of them wrote letters that were way beyond what I had asked them. I just asked them for a vote of confidence, and so we were very happy. One of the things that's very strong about Villages is that we are very strong in customer service. We return phone calls within a half an hour of receiving them. We make sure that you're taken care of. And one of the benefits, of course, to Taney County that we feel is a no-brainer is that we're located right here. And so if you need technical support, if you need anything, it's a 15-minute drive. So actually, probably should be 20 minutes, but I get pulled over a lot out here. So it's about 15-minute drive to come over and help you guys out. But I have to tell you, too, that since we've grown, since it just started out with Curtis and Ed, we now have almost 50 Taney County employees in Taney County. And so we're a really strong presence. But we have a strong presence in other locations, and I just make no bones about it. We would love to have a local Taney County. We'll take very good care of you. But no matter how good we take care of you, the product has to be what it needs to be, and so I'm going to show that to you right now. Oh, here we go. I am going to walk through this. Now, Matt, sir, because you're Mr. Technical, if I say anything that's technically inaccurate, you just let me know. This is just to let you know a little bit about how our programs are built. It's an integrated collection of software modules designed to operate from a common database. They're on top of advanced programming languages and technologies. We allow each office to establish their own control access policies, privileges, so you can prevent people from different offices going in, even though you're operating on the same database. You can set those administrative privileges within any of our programs. Now, this is the one, Matt, where you get me, but all of our products are designed on a three-tier architecture. SQL is the database management system. It can be configured to run on top of a variety of spatially enabled object relational database management systems, which means Oracle, DB2, SQL. All of those products support geospatial query in addition to standard SQL database queries. The DBMS is accessed via web services. The middle tier web service authenticates every function call, and it allows you to lock down any process to a particular user or user group, which just means that we're using best security practices to take care of the security of all of your data. And again, all this information is definitely available to you outside of this presentation here. And if I just want to let you know, too, that as I go through here, if you have any questions or any comments, including my colleagues, if you need to ask anything or let me know, if you'll just let me get through the end of it, and I'll open up for questions, and we'll answer them, because I'm not sure I can answer all of them, and I will direct you to the right guy in our group that can do that. We have a great team. The primary entity in Gamma is the parcel. Since all other data is dependent on the existence of a parcel, necessary information about the parcel must be present to ensure data integrity. So what this is saying, all it means is we have built-in protections so that you can't move on from a function if things are inaccurate in the record. It's going to read and cross-reference. It's going to make sure that you have data integrity, that you don't enter, for instance, tax entities that actually don't go together. You put in the wrong code, it's going to know that for that address. We have standard tools, standard reports, and one of the things that is fantastic, and I think the best I've seen, and I've seen a lot of programs, is we have unlimited ad hoc queries. Data is built into all of our programs, constant ad hoc queries, constant ability for ad hoc queries that are advanced as you want them to be, and you can set them to, you can save them once you run them so that then you can get back to them without reestablishing them every time you go to run a query. But Dave's going to show that to you here in just a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and show you Gamma now. All right. This is the screen that you would look at in an assessor's office for the normal flow of work for your Gamma screen. And Gamma stands for Geo-Assisted Mass Appraisal. Geo-Assisted Mass Appraisal is a product that Villages had a vision for, Ed and Curtis did. They've been working on it for 3-plus years now. And we're pretty happy with it. We started working with ESRI to try to get the mapping component in. And ESRI's mapping component was a little slow, cumbersome to work with. And when they finally told us how much it was going to cost, the end product, their cost to us was more than we wanted the end product to be. So we had to find other options. Well, that turned out to be a very good thing because we found some new technology from a company called HyperGIS. And you're going to see this in just a second, especially those of you used to working within ESRI ArcView products. You're going to see how fast our maps move here in just a second. We still use ArcView. We're not trying to replace ArcView. We use it for analytical data and for our digitizing our own company. But within an assessor's map, you'll see how fast it works for an assessor. We have advanced search functions in all of our programming. You can search by parcel number, address, section, township, and range. We'll take you in the map exactly to that section, township, and range for you to look at. You can go in, and it will give you, if I Thank you. That helps actually immensely because I actually think I need glasses. And that makes a big difference in what I can see. Okay. When I'm operating on this too, and we were going to do a dual screen presentation, but we were having a little bit of difficulty with that on here. But the when you have two screens, what would happen is that my screens that are overlapping will automatically pop up in another window. It's a traditional flex environment that a lot of you are used to using in programs. But as I type in a name, and this would happen with parcel or with address, it begins to populate candidates down in this list here. And as now notice, what you're going to see up here is the appraisal record. What you're going to see over here is the mapping record. And as I look and see who they are, immediately, and those of you that are used to working with maps would like you to know how fast the map is loading. It will immediately take me to that camera record that corresponds with the person I'm looking at. It can help you figure out where you want to go. One of the things I really like about this, too, is that over here, the D stands for dwelling, C is commercial, O is other, and it tells you how many of those improvements are in that record. So if someone comes in and they own 20 parcel numbers, and they say, but I just want the one that has my house on it, and so they want to look at it, all you have to do is you find the one that has the dwelling, and you go to it, because you know that's the parcel that houses the dwelling. I'm going to go in. I'm going to find a parcel that has footprints on it for me. There we go. Okay. Once I'm finished with my search, the person I choose, their map is going to apply right up here, right here, and all of their owner data is going to be right here. I'm going to just show you this function real quick. This is previously shown parcels. This holds up to the last 30 parcels that you were working on, records that you were working on, and that is by user. So if you leave your office one evening and you're working on a bunch and you come in the next evening, you don't have to research and refine what you're working on. All you have to do is go right back to where you were, and it'll take you back to the last ones that you're working on. Like I said, it houses up to the last 30 that you were editing. Here, we can house an unlimited number of pictures. Now, this particular property only has one picture, but you see these thumbnail areas down here? It's just like the type of picture program you would use at home for your own digital camera. You can house unlimited photos for that parcel here. And each photo is actually attached to the improvement, not just to the parcel. So it's attached to the actual improvement there. Now, the picture also has the date it was taken and who took it, so that you can keep track of that. You know, sometimes if you're in a database and you have a lot of improvements to a property, you might want to go out and, if you're in the field, taking a picture because it's been a long time. You keep track of that there. And I want to show you something, too. One of the things is that our programs are built in modern flex environment, which is different than like a VB6 type environment, because you can change and scale the screen to whatever you want it to be. If you're somebody that's not doing mapping but you just want to look at it, you might want to make the map small. Or if you're the mapper, your primary function to be in this program is mapping, then you might want to make the map huge. Ed's always telling me not to talk so fast, so maybe I should listen. And you can resize it and restructure it however you want. I think I want it to be a little bit bigger than that. As I'm sitting here looking at the owner deed information, over here I have information about my parcel. It tells me when it was created, when it was last maintained, who last maintained it, and any codes that I would want to apply to why it was maintained could sit here. And you can set those by office, whatever you would want it to be. That's what we would set it to be, codes 1 through whatever you needed. Now down here you're going to have a history of this parcel, a history of the deeds. And over here, it gives you the source. The source of that information here came from the owner, an agent, owner, grantor, the sale price each time that this property was sold, and the grantor, the date, the deed type. And what's neat about this is that we always have drop-down menus in all of our programs. So you can set deed type, like if this was supposed to be a beneficiary deed. Let's see. That's probably got to be a B, right, guys? B-O something, I think it is. There it is. B-O-D, beneficiary deed. Beneficiary on death. And so if I want to look at the deed, I can pull it up, and all the scanned deed images are attached to the record right there in front of you. So you can work off of the deed while you're in appraisal and while you're in mapping. It'll pull it up. And, of course, you have the freedom to move this around wherever you want to move it. And all of those records will be kept. Now, of course, once you get older, sometimes counties don't have CNDs that go real old. If it's not there, obviously it won't be there. So go into the legal screen, and this is where you would type in all of your legal description. If you start to type in a brief parcel description, this is what's actually going to print on, like, your data cards. And what we do is we have PRC cards that are made to be in-house for the assessor staff to look at, and then we have data cards that are made to be for taxpayers that come in. Because sometimes when they come in and they see a PRC that has all the coding on it and everything, it can be confusing to a taxpayer because that just has to do with your program and with how you operate. And so this allows you to have a nice clean data card that has all the same information, but it's cleaned up as far as the more detail that's on it on codes. You don't have to retype it. You can just transfer parcel description and then just continue if it's a longer one and just keep going. So that's very nice. Also, if you're putting in a subdivision, and you need to, it's basically the same description with just minor changes. You can just copy and paste, copy and paste, copy and paste without retyping the description over and over and over. Gives you your township, section, and range. Right here I have my taxing entities. And this is one of the places, wait a minute, I think that Taney County, we looked in this, you guys are a little bit different. You have one coding, right, for that includes all the taxing entities. Yeah, I think you do. Yeah, some of our counties don't do it that way. Some of our counties actually have a separate code for school, fire, and they have to remember all that and combine it. In your situation, this screen right here would just have code, and you would type in the code. So we'll go on from there because you guys don't do it that way. Here you would have your deed and calculated acreage. Any neighborhood codes, land models, we're going to talk about that in the next screen. This is really useful, land models. Subdivision codes. One of the things I like about our notes screen, too, and I'll go ahead and pretend like I've filled this all out, is you have unlimited notes fields. I mean, it'll go on, it's infinite, it'll store notes as long as you want. And once you get past the screen, you see that it opens up, and then you'll forever have that toolbar to scroll up and down. So you're not limited to notes that are actually just visually on the screen, which most VB6 programs limit you in that way. On our land screen here, this is our land value summary. This is just a regular city lot, but for the acres entered, this is your total. It'll give you summarized by class, residential, agricultural, commercial. Is that exempt? Okay. Here you have your front frontage lot. Of course, that's really important to keep track of and to have available for all your commercial values. Base lot. And Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is where you would create a land model, correct? So that if you had a subdivision, you would set the base price of that subdivision. Let's say that the base lot in that subdivision would go for about $25,000. That's awfully low in this area, but $25,000. And then based on, let's say one has a great view and it's got a pond, so you're going to set a percentage above that base value that would be. Or let's say it's one that's on a really steep hill and it's not as desirable, so you lower that percentage on what you set that base value to be. Well, you're creating a land model. So 5-6 years down the road, when that subdivision maybe has a huge change, instead of now the base lot being worth $25,000, it's now worth $45,000. All you have to do is go in and change the land model to change the base, and all of your parcels within that neighborhood are going to adjust based on the percentage land model that you built, which is really useful, especially in a county like Taney County that's constantly having expansion. And again, I just want to show you, you can always change the way your screen looks. You can enlarge it, shrink it. Flex allows you a lot of flexibility. Any ag land, if your ag land summary would be here, but there isn't any. Square footage, your site information, and then forest crop land. If this parcel had any forest crop land, would sit here. Then under improvements, here's your improvement screen, and I was playing with it right before we came in here, so I'm going to go ahead and delete that improvement because it's not real. Okay. There's the real dwelling. And that's, by the way, how you add an improvement. I'll go ahead and do that. Let me put one here. Add improvement. And I'm going to give it a use type. Let's make it an other improvement since they already have a residence. Let's make it a garage. And save it. And then I'm going to put the class as being residential class. This class, too, in percentage here, is for if you have a property that is divided by commercial and residential, and you need to set the commercial, the percentage of that property that's commercial versus the percentage that's residential, you would set that here. Then you would go down, let's make it a high grade scale. Whoops, I got a little ahead of myself there. Another thing I like about this is you can tab through. Those of you that do a lot of data entry, you know it's so much better to be able to tab through. You don't have to pick up your mouse. So our programs are set so that you just tab through. Let's say it was built 2008. Let's give it an improvement code, like maybe a G3. Is that about right? I don't know all your guys' codes, so if I get one wrong, let me know. G3 quantity 1. Let's leave the condition out. And let's say... Okay, if you leave it blank, it'll be average, but let's pretend like it has something in it. You want to? What? I don't know what a feature would be. Do you guys know? Well, in a garage, probably not, but okay. So anyway, you would go through, and one of the things I like about it, too, is that it's set right now for the way the cars are for the county that has this. The data that we're using here. And this is the order that their cars that they go out in the field with are. But you can restructure this at any time. That's one of the great things about Flex is you're not stuck with the program and the way it works just the way we give you. You can customize it. Everybody sitting at their desk can customize it. I don't like it that way, then change it. So let's say that I don't know why you wouldn't do foundation first because that's almost always the case. But just for the sake of argument, let's say you wanted roof type to be first. Then it's going to be first, and you can change it that way. I'm going to go back to foundation because I kind of know those codes, so I won't mess it up. It's got protections in here. Let's say I put in the code for 3 for the foundation at 100%, and I go, wait a second, continuous wall. That, like, if I thought I knew the code but I was wrong, it is going to show me what that code actually is. And I can drop down here, and let's say, no, you know what? This should have been earth. That's what I thought I was putting in. When I do it and I tab through, you'll notice that the code goes ahead and changes to what it should be. So you don't have to have your codes perfect. Instead of going and looking them up, they're all housed right here inside your program. And you would just tab through. And also, this notes field is another unlimited notes field. Even though it looks small on here, it's infinite. So once you keep typing, it opens up and it will continue to go on. I'm going to add a sketch. So instead of starting from scratch, I'm going to go to a dwelling. The sketch tool, like I said in the beginning, this is the mapping, the appraisal, and the sketch tool all in one software. It's not software that's talking. It's in one software. And pictures. Okay. So here's my sketch. Open it up. Let's add something to this one. And you can do angles. You can do anything you need to draw. We have the ability to do anything. Oops. My bad. I'm gonna. Watch me. Okay, I'll do it this way. Okay. So, this is 309, and I'm gonna come over here, and I can tell it what it's gonna be. Let's make it a deck. That's kind of a big wood deck. What should I make it a? I don't know. Let's make it an open porch with posts. Sure. That's what it can be. Then I save it, and I go out, and it recalculates based on my sketch. The sketch is really easy. If you like to add your sketches by doing right, commence up, entering it like that, you can still do it that way. But I personally like it this way. It's just a lot easier. And so then it'll give you your sketch. And we were more than happy to go into much more detail about how we calculate. Right now, this is on a Honeycutt system. And the Honeycutt system is, it's easiest to do a conversion from Honeycutt to Honeycutt. We have some counties that we work with Marshall Swift with, but this is based on these construction units. That's what this is over here, by the way. This column is your construction units. And so we're doing a Honeycutt cost estimate right now. In the summary, you have your computed values by class. So if there was also agricultural, commercial, utility, exempt, forest, crop, all the buildings of that, all the land of that, then your total, and then your assessed totals. And that just gives you a nice summary. It's kind of self-explanatory summary screen. For your dwellings, commercial buildings, other improvements, and go down. And hold on just a second. I go go to, I was thinking the value change history. It's on this screen, okay. On your history screen, this will give you your current appraised value for each of those divided up like this. And keeping them divided like that also is a part of allowing you to have advanced reporting capability. And Dave's going to show you all of the reporting capability here shortly. Here's your history. Your history of anything that has ever happened, residential appraised, agricultural, commercial, and it will give you the history back for years past on what has happened on this parcel. And it's right there in front of you. You don't have to go searching for it. You can just highlight which one it is and go to it. Value change history. Let's say, okay, I just added an open porch for these people, so I'm going to add a new value change history. And I'm going to point out on this, you'll notice when I'm clicking, what I'm doing is I'm right-clicking because it's a modern programming environment, so instead of having to know the codes or remember what you're doing, you can right-click your way out of just about anything because it's going to give you a drop-down menu of what you want to do next. That's one of the things I love about Flex. So let's say it's 2009, and I can give the reason for the change, which was addition, alteration, okay? New res, I didn't pay attention to how much that was, but you would put that in there. And then these notes, this note field is for the taxpayer. This is going to print on the value change notice. And we put this in here because sometimes if you send value change notices to taxpayers, especially if it's going up for any reason, it's nice to put a little note in there. Congratulations on your deck. But, I mean, I'm being facetious, you wouldn't actually write that. But let them know why you're making a value change history. It might not, depending on the taxpayer. Help them understand why they got the change. And it also allows you to put something a little bit more detailed than just the reason codes, just a flat reason, which is kind of nice for communicating with your taxpayers. Okay, we're kind of to the very exciting part here. This is the map. When I double-click on the map here, it opens in another window. Now, notice how fast these maps load, because it's just pretty daggum exciting. Once the map loads, too, you can move it around, and it's like a piece of paper on the table. Any of you that have worked in mapping know that reload time slows down your workflow. And we don't have that problem here. So in the map, let's say that this is kind of silly because this woman would not be splitting her property. It's too small. But let's say she's going to split her property. What these blue footprints are that you see here, as you go through and you work, you would add footprints to all your buildings. It's a smart footprint. That building is actually attached to the building. I mean, that footprint is actually attached to the building itself. So when I go in here and do a split, it's going to tell my CAMA side of my record and my mapping side of my record which side of the split each building went on. So I'm going to show you in the appraisal record here that the shed and the house are going to end up in two different appraisal records without me having to do anything. And I'll show you that here right now. I hit split parcels. Now, there's advanced COGO function, and I believe just for the sake of an easy demonstration right now, Curtis, you were going to show Tim personally the more advanced COGO function, because that takes a while, because you have to actually have a deed in front of you to start to hit COGO calls and create COGO functioning in maps. But it's got advanced COGO functioning. It would work just like an ArcView COGO function would. But for today, we're going to do a simple split parcel, which is also one of the reasons I chose this one. It's simple. We have built-in very strong cartographic standards within our mapping element so that they're snapping, so that your polygons don't get off, so that you keep all of that correct. You see my green flag up there? It's not going to let me go off of that no matter where I go. It's going to snap to that line, which is extremely important in mapping. And anybody that know that, when you go to create polygons, if you have the slightest, that's even imperceptible to your naked eye, if you have the slightest hole, then you're going to have problems when you go to create your polygons, because it's going to detect that as a gap. So we click here, hold down my shift key, and it's going to snap to the line that I've got it on. It gives me the distance and the angle there. Okay, so now I've got a situation where it says confirm the original parcel will be split into these two parcel areas. Original parcel is number one, and new parcel, number two. Now, the green parcel corresponds with what the original parcel is going to be, but if I wanted to switch that, if I wanted this to retain the 4.23 and be the original parcel, I could just click that. But I don't want it to be that way, so I'm going to put it back. Then you would choose your next parcel number. And let's say I was going to go to 2-5. Well, I can't use that one because it's not free. It's not going to let you put a parcel number in there that already exists in your database. So I'm going to kind of go nutty and go up to 99 because this could take a while to find one that is free. There we go. 99. So that's going to be my new parcel number. Now, if Ms. Moore was splitting this property, but she wanted to retain ownership of both sides of the parcel, then you would hit this copy owner data. What that would do is it would create a new camera record for this parcel, and all of her ownership data would be immediately populated into that parcel. You wouldn't have to re-enter it. But I don't want to do that because I want to show you how to enter a new owner. So we're not going to do that right now because I want to show you how to enter a new owner. So then I would just confirm my split. Splitting the parcel. Parcel split successfully. Okay, now, if you had our web-hosted GIS functionality, as soon as you wanted to, as long as you want a pause on that update, or it can be immediate, when the assessor's office is making changes, making splits, those splits can go live for people, appraisal offices, title offices, people to go in and look and see if it's been completed live. So they could have access to what you're doing there. We also have the coolest text tool. Anybody that's worked in ArcView, which I have, my biggest frustration with Arc is getting the text right, getting it set to the right layer, getting it set to the right size, going through the 10 different clicks you have to do that. We have where all you have to do is click annotation. It's automatically going to know what that size I need here. Let me, what was my, the parcel number I did?
4.99.
Okay. Thank you. Save. Okay, and then I want to move it. Move it to about right there. And then I could go in and do dimension anno and all of that the same way. So it's pretty spectacular that it splits. Now watch this. Pick up my identify tool. I look here. And my owner, hold on, I think I picked the tool. What did I do, Matt?
You're on the right tool.
Okay, you know what? Hold on a minute. The whole thing is frozen. Like, even my clicking's freezing
right
up.
Right, yeah.
I know, but why is my clicking freezing up? Like, on the... Okay, well, anyway, here it's bringing me to this one, which it should have, but it should have done that like that fast. It usually does, but I've got some weird thing going on with my mouse here. I go in and I can put in a new owner, so let's say... And it's going to make me do it now, because if I try to get out of there, yeah, it's going to tell me I didn't enter an owner, which is a good protection mark measure, but... For right now, it's going to make me type in this person, Smith, Jones, I'm really creative, aren't I? 121, Hill, let's make, these people are going to live in Hollister. Well, let me put Hollister since this is Douglas County's data, do you think? Okay. Sorry, you guys have to put up with my bad typing. There we go. And then it's going to show when this parcel was created, when it was maintained, and if we go into the improvements screen, that utility building and the value for that utility building has been automatically moved to that parcel. Then if I go into Daisy, she should still have this. This is Daisy Moore, and now I go back into her improvements screen. Oh, that's right. That's right. I added that. Let's go ahead and get rid of it. I shouldn't have added it anyway. Delete improvement. Yes, because it doesn't exist. Okay. Then it knows that this improvement, this house, I need to get out of there and read since I deleted that. Recalculate. Belongs to this building. I deleted the residence, guys.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. That's a user mistake. Can I go back? going to, let's find somebody here that has a house. Another function of the map that is really neat is when you're in there, you can look at, if someone comes in and says, who are my neighbors, you can look up their parcel address, go in and pull it up, and then you can click around them and find out who their neighbors are. Cheyenne Enterprises owns the neighborhood right there by the Fellingers, and their neighbor to the south of them is Joretta Sawyer, and so you can let them know who their neighbors are by going in. The other really neat function is you can print all of your maps, whether it's going to a plotter and it's a big size map or whether you want it to be small, you can print your maps right here. This is the way, if they just wanted it on an 8.5 by 11, this is the way it would come out. I'm not hooked to a printer, so I'm not going to hit print because it's going to go look for one. But you can set the map scale, and it will know. And then this, what's neat about this, too, is you can print this to PDF. If someone wants a copy of their map and they call you a taxpayer, you can print it to PDF, and you can email it to them, and they can print it on their own printer at home like that.
Green technology.
Green technology, that's right. Green friendly. One of the things I forgot to mention is, I just see right here, is where you would hit for a sales questionnaire. That goes into a sales questionnaire queue in the reporting menu. And then at the end of the week, end of the day, however often you guys want to print your sales questionnaires, you would hit print sales questionnaires. All of the ones within your database that have this checked, this would get unchecked, and you would have a record of when the sales questionnaire was mailed that would then be populated immediately in your parcel data information in the screen. So you could keep track of when those were mailed. Dave, I think what I'm going to do is open it up for anybody that has any questions, and then I'm going to hand it to you to show all the query reporting capability, which is advanced in our programs. Does anybody have any questions, any thoughts?
First, on your maps, are those loaded in SQL, or are they set images, or how do you get that quick on
file?
They're all precached here.
Precached, okay.
It takes quite a while.
Yeah.
Everything's precached and occurred here.
That's why you get quick.
It is very quick.
And it is precached in the SQL as
well. Well, and I want to show you this too. If I knew what section township range, I'm not going to know. But I'm going to get out of here for just a second because I want to show you guys something. I want to show them the whole county and show them how fast it loads because it's pretty spectacular. Not only does it load fast initially, but once it's loaded, it doesn't have to reload every time you move it around, which you guys that edit that stuff, you know. It doesn't seem like much because it's only 10 to 15 seconds, but when you're waiting and waiting and waiting for every single function you're doing all day, it gets really frustrating when you're waiting 10 to 15 seconds for the computer. Okay. As I function out, see how fast that loads for the whole county, and I can get an aerial of that, and then I can move it around, which is just, I mean, it's spectacular. And when I go in closer, and I wish I was over a city right now because it's got, you know, a lot more stuff on it rather than just ponds and acreage, but it just loads, it's just so fast. Amazing. Oh, I forgot to show you the measure tool, which I'll go ahead and do right now. The measure tool allows you to start a measurement. And let's say you wanted to measure. If they said, if I cut off about half my lot, what do you think that acreage would be? You could go in. I don't know why I'm talking with an accent. Well, I think if they were living on that acreage, that's what they'd sound like. My grandpa. closed area, Ginger. Da-da-da. It's 5.3 acres right there. So, again, Very useful. Very helpful. You could even go in and theoretically set that by looking at it and start your COGO calls and then adjust the calls as they happen to what it actually needs to be. So. But, okay, anybody have any other questions or comments?
Must have did good, Ginger.
Oh, or I didn't. And there's no questions. Yeah, okay. I'm going to turn over to Dave to show you the ad hoc query functions, and then I'll just have you go right into personal property.
Sure.
It's on here. So.
The system does have some predefined reports, mostly the reports that the State Tax Commission requires everybody to submit, and that holds true for real estate and for personal property. But one of the neat things, since our database is ODBC compliant and standard SQL, we can use any number of outside third-party tools to do ad hoc queries. I happen to like Microsoft Excel. So all you have to do, somebody give me a custom query, something on real estate or personal property, but take one that.
What's a home to a swimming pool or
something? I don't know my code for swimming pool.
Home that are over 5 acres
in a certain district.
Doris School district.
All right. all you have to do, you know, this is the new Excel. But I come in here and I say I want to get data from other sources. I'm going to use Microsoft Query. I go to my CAMA database. This shows me all the tables that are in the CAMA database. Now, before you can do a query, an ad hoc query, you're going to have to learn a little bit about what tables and fields are available in your database. We've got a data dictionary that would be provided. The information you asked for is in the parcel table. Another thing good about this Microsoft query is if I choose two tables, it automatically links them together by the correct external key. So I'm going to go to my parcel table and see I want to get the formatted parcel number. Let's get owner one, what do we want, acres?
Acres and school district.
All right, here's deed acres, let's get that, and calc acres. And school district in this county is code one. Now all these tax entity codes, those are set up in the database. I can show you how that is. I don't have to change any programming code for a county depending on your tax entity, so it's all table driven. I just happen to know that this county's data school district is just code one. So here's the columns I want in my query. I say next, and I can say deed acres is greater than or equal to 5, or calc acres is greater than or equal to 5, and the code 1 is equals. Now when I do this, it'll show me all my choices. I'm not sure what, I'd have to look on my table to know what these all refer to, but let's do school district 1. Say next. And I want to sort it by parcel number. If I wanted to save this query, I could hit this and give it a name and save it so that I could recall it anytime I wanted to.
Without re-entering
all that information. I say finish. I want to bring it in as a table, and I want to put it in A1. apparently there weren't any in there. Yeah, that one didn't have any parcels over five in that school district. Let me... All right. We'll change it.
I'll try different.
Yeah.
Try school district three.
Yeah, if I'd have saved that, then I could have went in there and edited it. Since I didn't save it, I'm having to get it over.
You could just put a letter on the keyboard, will it save it there?
On here? You know, I'm not sure. Yeah, it took me to there, yeah.
That's an Excel function, it almost always does.
Okay, let's try this again. We're going to say calc acres. You know, I think I know why. I don't think there's any deed acres. I said calc acres greater than 5 or deed acres greater than 5 and exclusion. It might have been in my selection criteria. Let's do greater than or equal to 5. And code 1 equals... I'm going to try one again.
Try three.
Three? Okay. Sort by formatted parcel. And I'm going to save this query.
Good move.
Query from Canva is good enough. Here I can view data or edit query in Microsoft Query. I've never tried it, but let's just try that. Oh, there you go. Now see, if I do that in Microsoft Query, now I've got, there's my list. I'm not sure how to put that back into. There we go. And there's everybody over 5 in School District 3. And show you how easy it is to recall that.
You closed out the workbook, you gotta open a new. Pick a big top left button around
there.
I don't like this.
Yeah, I'm not used to this new.
No, the little office icon, very, very top left.
That circle is everything you said.
All right. Alright. Oh yeah, I'm used to that old Excel still. And if I go to my queries, there's my query. Any of them that I saved would be showing up right there. So it allowed me to edit it there and then put it in the next day. You do the same thing just as easily on personal property. All of our databases are completely exposed to any third-party tool. Doesn't have to be Excel. I could open up Microsoft Access and link to the tables. I can import the tables. Number of ways to do queries. And again, the systems do have some predefined reports. Mostly the ones that are required by the state. Any questions on ad hoc query? I mean, I can run some more, but I just wanted to show you how simple it is to operate. Very straightforward. Personal property. Let's mouse this.
Yeah. just one last thing.
Okay. Edit data. Of course, this is just, I'm going to show you this first. And we'll find us a Smith. We like to pick on Smiths. Oh, I put Smith.
They're always in there. There's no Smith.
There's no Smith, but there are some Smiths. Let's pick on Billy and Ava Smith. This we'll keep as many records as you care to keep. You'll see here, this is their 2009, 2008, 2007, 2006. I think we got 5 years worth in this particular database. This system knows what year we're in. I've got the parameters set on here to be for 2009. As long as I'm on a 2009 record, I can come in here, I can edit property. Let me show you when I, if I get into a 2008 record, I'm not allowed to edit property. The only way I can edit property on a prior year is to come up here and add a court order. Whenever I do add a court order, it keeps track of the date of the court order, what properties they had, and tax entities they had before the court order, what they had after the court order. So there's a complete audit of all your court orders. They would also show up down here in this little box. You can do a number of things with the database when you issue a court order. Different counties are requesting different things. Some just want a printed out sheet, which I certainly can do that, and I'm doing that for them. Other counties, well, we're going to be integrating with our collector package, Jim Travis's collector package. So in the integrated system, when you issue a court order, we can automatically update the collector's system. Some other neat features about this.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
If we update that and we make a mistake, can we fix it the same day? Or?
Yeah. You know, if you wait too long, you probably have to make another court order in order to correct the previous incorrect. Or they may have ours, you know. It just depends on your county's procedures. If you do have a scan declaration, which I want to talk about our procedure, we store all of your declarations within the program. You can, and they are multi-page TIF documents, front and back. Now these are black and white, but actually they're color. These were assessment lists developed by R.J. Rice, I think they call it. We put black and whites, but if I print one, it'll print out in color. We also have loaded on here the Department of Revenue report. You see Tom Bolansky. It'll bring up his Department of Revenue report. The real power in this system is in the built-in workflow, which I'm going to show you here. Basically, the process is thus. We send out all the assessment lists with the barcoded owner ID. When they come back in, you can put them in stacks by date as they come in. Then you take a stack of them, however many you want to put in what we call a batch, maybe 100 of them. You put them on the scanner, scan them in. As they scan in, the owner record is updated showing that the declaration was returned. It puts the date that it was returned. So that when it gets time for second mailing, you know which ones were sent back, so it's easy to know who you need to send a second mailing to. Also, if you take a stack of, let me back up. You scan them in, it updates the owner record with the date returned. And really, then you take that stack of 100, you put them in a box, and hopefully you'll never have to touch those assessment lists again. Got your image. It does keep the batch number, so that if you did have to find that paper copy, it would narrow you down to a group of about 100 of them that you'd have to flip through. But hopefully, you'll never have to deal with the paper. After they're scanned in, then you can put them in a box and set them on a shelf and don't have to alphabetize them or anything.
And even if someone comes in and they wanted an exact copy of
them, I can print out an exact copy. Now, if they want to see the actual paper copy, it'll tell me what batch number it's in, and you can go get it out of that box. But that rarely happens. Another thing, let me just go into this process text. This is the automated workflow that we've built into this. What this does, when I fire up this program, it says here I've got record one of 345. These are all the owners who had a return. Here's their return date, but has not been processed. And as you go through them, if we had a split monitor, this would be a lot nicer. Because here's their declaration. Somewhere hidden under here is the Department of Revenue report. And you'll notice that, and once I move those to another area on the screen, they stay there. So if you have the split monitors, you arrange them so you can see everything at once. As I go to each record, you'll see that their assessment list comes up. And we've got a crowded screen. And the Department of Revenue. Now, if they have the same as last year, all I have to do is hit this button, copy 2008. So let's find one that has a state lookup table. Here we go. If I copy 2008, this shows their 2000, what they had for 2008. If I say copy it, it moves it down into 2009, automatically revalues it according to the state valuation guide. And I come up here and I click processed, then that one's done. Just move on. This one will not show up on this workflow again because I clicked it as processed. Now, I also have this box here, review required. It's not all fitting on the screen, but I think it's from the projector. When you click check review required, you see here Albert D. Blackwell, then what that means is you want someone with a little higher authority to review that one, and you just simply come into this review declarations. And any of those that were marked review required are going to show up on this queue. And there's the Blackwells. Whoever looks it over and says, oh yeah, that looks fine, then they can take this off, click process, and that one's done. So when you go through this process declarations, it's easy to go through in an hour's time, 100 or 150 of them. You can whip through these. The counties that are using this process, they're getting through their assessment list processing faster than they ever have. And not only that, now we've got another way. If you want to separate your assessment list into a stack of those that are marked no change, same as last year, we've got a scan process. Now you can take that stack of no changes, run them through the scanner, put them in the batch. They're done. You don't even have to bring them up on this screen. It automatically moves all the properties they had from last year to the current year and revalues them. So literally, there's no work to do other than to scan the document as a no change batch of documents.
Ask a
on edit data. We also have a box here for do not roll. Like if they left the county, that keeps them from getting an assessment list the next year. Delete this vehicle here. You can issue a waiver if they have no properties. These are the only two reasons this county had for issuing waivers. We can put more of them on here. And gives you that message. Also prints out the way where it's wanting to print it out here. To deactivate a record, it'll put a message there, and then of course you can reactivate it. I don't actually delete records. Once they're in there for a given year, you can deactivate them. That way you know that they were there. And I can also go through a similar process. These are people that did not return assessment lists. Everybody has a return date of zero.
Wait.
What?
That vehicle showing how you
do it. Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Adding vehicles is real easy. Okay, now if you knew the state ID, you could type it in here. Most people don't have it memorized. So you go to lookup code. Let's say it's a 1999 automobile. And you can also type in here, like if I type a C, it's going to go down to... Or I can just pick it. I want a Chevy. What'd they make in 1999? Camaro. Now you can tell over here, when you get to the body style, anything that has a value, if there was no values in here, you'd know that those makes didn't exist for that year. So we'll call it a Chevy Camaro Berlinetta. We say okay. And there it is.
And that was where you could do the salvage title, so you kind of...
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Let's do this one. If you have a percentage that you're applying to salvage title, all you have to do is click this box. In this county, they use a 70%. It automatically adjusts the value. Also, if it's a large truck and you need Missouri miles, you can either end straight percent, or you can come in here and put total miles, 132,000, Missouri miles, 13,567, and it'll calculate the percent for you.
When he was doing that add-on, was it a current year? If you're doing a current year add-on?
As long as you're working in the current year, you can add property. If you're doing any other year, then you have to do a court order to add property, or delete property, or change the taxing entity.
If you go in there and change addresses and all of that too, there's a...
Also, yeah, we don't let you, I can't come in here and change an address without clicking this button, and you'll see it puts an address change date. It also keeps track of my user ID. Any address changes are logged. Now I can change his name.
Dave, back to that. Sheila's question regarding a court order.
Uh-huh.
In this integrated system, the court order add-ons for personal property would originate in the personal property system.
Come straight across. Let me show you how to court order. Let's go to our 2008. You see the edit property? It won't even let me do it. And I cannot change any school districts. Just won't let me do it. The only way I can do it on a prior year is to add a court order. I've actually made some enhancements since this version on the demo machine. It'll pre-fill the date and year.
So let's just put, what is today, 11-9-2009. And here it shows me my original 2008 and my revised 2008. Let's say, oh, they don't have the camper anymore. They don't have the motor. School district was supposed to be 10, not 11. And then I want to add, let's don't add a vehicle, let's add
some sows.
That's a pretty messed up record, Dave.
All your ag tables are loaded into the database so it automatically values them. Once I say finished, in this particular application, it makes a print file. It's not actually hitting their collector file. And I'll show you what it prints out.
They can do both, right, though, right? Print out for themselves and have it update the collector file. And then
yes, that's going to vary by county. This is Douglas County data that we have on the demo machine. And this is what happens on a court order in Douglas County. It prints out this sheet here. The collector fills this part out, the commissioners sign it. On the back of it, it lists the properties that they now have, and I believe on the front, yeah, it gives them the school district, ambulance, fire, and city codes on the form. Here's your batch number. Oh yeah, the late flags, if the return date is after May 1st, it automatically assigns a late penalty. Of course, then you can remove that if you put a reason for waiving the late assessment penalty. What else? About to hit all the high points?
We'll just show the records, the reports.
Oh, I know what I want to, show you how it prints out a, you need to print an assessment list. This one had a waiver issued. They are in color. They look just like the ones that... Now, this is supposed to be a barcode. I need to load the barcode font on this demo machine, because that would be a barcode if we had the right font on this machine. But this is an R.J. Rice form. I'm not sure if you guys use those or not. But basically, I can work with any forms that you have pre-printed or designed. You don't have to use the forms that I'm showing you here on the screen. Our systems can import any form. Same way on your real estate for your PRCs. I know every county is different, and so we'll work those PRCs to look just like the ones you're used to. Some other things about the CAMA system that weren't mentioned. All of your sales from the GAMA, we have an easy function that will load all of your sales information into the state sales database so that you can give that to them. They can do any kind of analysis they want to do. I've got a built-in ratio study currently outside of the state program. What's lacking, and I intend to add at some point, would be your depreciation analysis, land study, and some of the other analyses you do. But it's a very simple matter. It's just one button you push. You specify the age range or the year, sale year range, and it'll populate that state database, and then you can use their programs if you like to use theirs without having to enter all those in.
things they want to see with regard to either real estate or personal property.
I'd like to, well, not personal property. I'd like to see the Form 11, 11A. Do you have that?
Form 11.
Yeah.
And the distribution worksheet for the state assessor over the utility.
That one, I don't think so.
Plan for the railroad utility would be to rewrite essentially what you have in Foxborough into the flex system. And that's in our schedule for development along after the packages complete, which would probably be June, July.
I don't think our demo gamma has any of the reports on it, but.
Not on the laptop.
The laptop can't hold.
Right. What we would shoot for, Donna, would be to format that similar to what you've received now.
There's a timeline on that. Yeah, for integration, you can both the packages.
Chris is 3 weeks in the development of the collector's package. Gamma is probably somewhere 2 to 3 months away from being able to be implemented fully on its own without any of the BD sex support.
Certainly more full workload.
Yeah.
So another question is on that. For appraisers that do work in the field, is it easy to take a laptop out, do your sketch, and bring it back in and move it back into the database? Or how do you
Well, we can certainly set up a mobile application. What the counties that I'm familiar with, they're using it now. They're still drawing it with a pencil, and then they come in and
McDonald County's getting ready to do theirs. Their guy Don has I don't know what you call it, because I'm not a gizmo guy, but he can plug into his laptop where he has web access everywhere in his county, and he is just going to draw them right there.
Right, there's a number of ways we can handle that.
Exactly. Because of the SQL database, it makes it pretty easy to disconnect them.
We could even serve it up over the internet if you had some sort of satellite internet service in your car and work right straight to the database, I suppose.
Not there yet.
One of the powers of the Flex database is you can run that. It runs in the browser environment. Mm-hmm. And you can run either online or in-house. So we're concentrating right now with an in-house version. But Flex certainly gives us a capability of the browser mode to run it off online.
The sketch component of this is an actual component. So that component, I mean, for field work, that component could be configured into a mobile program, like for sketching in the field, and it would look just like this, but it wouldn't, you know, unless you need the whole program out in the field. But if all you're wanting to do is put your sketches, then probably what we'd do is have a little module that you would load on a laptop that would basically look the same and maybe write to a database on that local laptop, and then periodically you would have to download that data then into your server database. But it's all definitely doable. Back to your question about Form 11. I can show you some of the personal property reports that we've got. And I don't have access to all the CAMA reports right now. That's the summary. Some of these are similar to what you get in real estate. On the CAMA, some of the pre-refined reports, it is the new construction report, Form 11, the list, tax entity report. This is just a summary by districts. The, the real estate side has similar types of reports. Personal property list is just that. It's just a list of everybody. Put it out in your house. People come to.
The goal is on the collector side is to basically produce the same reports that the collector system is producing now. And in the process, take advantage of any ideas we might have in the development process to add to the report. Be the luxury of taking a working system like we have and rewriting it into a programming language and having reviews periodically by our customers give input, to give ideas, or suggest areas where it could be improved.
Which raises an interesting point. Our intent with this software is not to have bunch of different versions of it floating around. When one county requests an enhancement, then that's going to be available to all of our users. We're going to keep the same code base everywhere. Even when it comes to options, that one county does it one way and one county does it the other way, I'm going to program in both ways into the program with a little flip switch based on how you set your parameter. We're going to keep all just one code base, and so any enhancement that comes along. In fact, I've got several that I'm working on right now on personal property, which you didn't see. The properties that you see on personal property now, the types of properties, I've basically got vehicles, other property, and mobiles. I'm, as we speak, working on business equipment, farm machinery, and heavy equipment, heavy trucks, basically. Because some of our counties are, like on the business equipment, they're actually keeping the year of purchase, the asset class, price paid, and using the macro schedules. And so that's going to be coming along here pretty soon if you want to keep your business equipment to that detail. You'll have that. Then on farm machinery, the way I'm envisioning that working is maybe I could find a nice farm machinery guide that I could load into the system. But for now, my thinking is when you enter in, say, a 1980 John Deere something or other tractor, that you'll look in your book and get the value, but just one time. Because once you look it up and put it in for that property, that will write that out to that valuation table so that the next time someone puts in the same year, make and model of tractor, it'll automatically value it without you having to look it up in the book.
Will all users be able to do that? Or can you lock that just down to certain individuals?
By sign on, yes.
Okay.
As far as editing data?
Right.
Right, yeah. Now, we'll have, depending on your sign-on, you'll have rights to different parts of the program, or, you know, you may have only view access only, which, you know, when we open it up to the other offices, I mean, you may want to share your data or even have a public terminal, but we don't want them to be able to change anything. They can certainly look. And in that view mode, we might even want to restrict what they can see. I know notes can be sensitive. So we would probably build in on the view mode. We might have a county view mode and a public view mode, and different fields would show. You could hide notes, for instance, from a public view if that's what you wanted to do. Oh, as far as integration, and one more thing, which was suggested, and I think it would be nice, is as the CAMA had the map integrated, it's been suggested that when they add a new owner, that it would be nice
find their location on the map to assign the tax entities on personal property. So it's my goal to, at some point, integrate the mapping even into the personal property so that you would be able to locate where that property was to make sure that you have the right tax, especially the first time through, because this has come up in a couple places where I've gone in and to do conversion work is somebody comes in and says they live at such and such address, and they spend a lot of time sometimes trying to figure out what school district it is or what fire district, whereas if you had the map right there on your personal property screen or the ability to bring up the map and ask the person, can you show me where it is? And they say, well, that's my house right there. And you click on it, and we could automatically fill in the correct tax.
Because that layer of information is already
there. It's in there.
Yeah.
This is one of the strong suits of integration. Now, these are not something pressing immediately, but I think that's something we're going to see down the road.
Well, I wanted to point out, too, one thing about Villages is all of our software is based on a yearly subscription instead of you paying huge amounts to gain the software and then having user seats and then having maintenance and then having upgrades. What we do is it's just a subscription basis. And so all of the improvements you would get for free, I mean, it's not really free because you're subscribing, but that's the way we're doing it so that you don't have to, you're not left in the dust if you don't have the money to upgrade or whatever. It's the upgrades come with how we do it. And we've really studied out the best way to price things for counties. And one of the things about Villages, from the mapping to the software and everything that we do, is we're some of the most cost-friendly contractors in the state of Missouri. And we get the job done, but we do it for a much more reasonable price. And we're easy to work with, and we are right here. And I have no problem with really stressing the fact that we are Taney County residents. We have direct access to you. Everybody else, all these other counties that we have, we love them, we visit them. I spend a lot of my time on the road to go see them, but you would have us right here in close access. And it is because Jim has been in the county for 10 years and has other programs in the county that were already very ease of integration, and it wouldn't force Sheila to change, it wouldn't force Donna to change, it would be a very smooth transition.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Not forced to change. Pressure.
And the collector can force everyone else to change, right?
Whatever you go with has to integrate with what the collector does.
That's right. Sorry. I've got pressure to change.
That's an interesting statute. That one.
Well, I have local spiritual media just with some information for you to take with you. If you have any questions or if anything comes up, we're more than happy to run over here and show you other parts of the program and play your thinking mold. Does it do this or something like that?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The other two gentlemen apologize for having to leave just a little early. I appreciate you coming also.
Yeah, thanks.
And go from there.
I hope you like this.
Our goal is all to have